minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Hooligans. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Woo! You know, you always think you have a plan for your show every day, Colfax, and then stuff happens, craziness happens, or just big-time stories going on, or transfers left and right going on over at Colorado State. Kevin Lytle posted this a couple hours ago, about Marcus McElroy, running back, leaving the program. He posted it on his Twitter account. Then he reported shortly after that defensive lineman, great friend of this show, Ellison Hubbard, is also leaving CSU, according to Rivals, and entering the transfer portal. We're going to confirm that right now. We have Ellison Hubbard on the First Advantage Hotline. Ellison, my friend, what in the world's going on?
Brady, how you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I went to go get a haircut. I come out, and my Twitter account's going crazy. So talk to us, man. So obviously this is true, right? You have entered the transfer portal?
Yes, just as this morning, I've entered the transfer portal, and it was a tough decision. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't something I just was like, yes, let's do it. You know, I've talked to a lot of people significant to me, and I asked, you know, questions, should I stay? Because they proposed it to me, the coaches. They said, would you like to stay and just redshirt and finish out the season? And you still have one more game to play. Or, you know, would you just like to enter the transfer portal? And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I think it's best if I just enter the transfer portal, just, you know, not to just sit around the team and know that I'm really not going to want to be here at the end of the year.
Okay, so talk to us about the process. So we're having listeners text in like crazy, you know, asking about playing time. Is it a coaching situation? Is it the culture? So we'll get into that. So obviously, I mean, you've been a little frustrated, Ellison. We've had the show. It's been great to talk to you, and you always have such a great positive attitude. But the playing time, we know that hasn't been exactly what you've wanted so far this season.
Yeah, and I, you know, as people have seen, I've played every game. I started every game. I played every game since I've been here, and it's kind of been that way growing up. So, you know, it kind of hurt me that they tell me I have this great athletic ability. I'm the most twitchy D lineman we have, but yet I only play maybe 14 snaps in a game. And last week I played zero. And so, you know, as much as I was happy to be in Iowa and cheer for my teammates, I wanted to be in the game to also impact as well. And, you know, I didn't get that opportunity. I couldn't understand why. And, you know, I tried to talk to some of my teammates, and, you know, they understood, you know, I don't know why you're not playing either when you had a lot of contributions. So that's when I made that decision to talk to the coaches. And, you know, you get a lot of different stories. You know, the day before you ever say you're going to transfer, and the day after you say you're going to transfer. So,
interesting. So, okay. So, clearly frustrated at this point. The Iowa game kind of reaches that peak of frustration for you. So, do you go knock on doors to the coaches and say, hey, I want to talk about my playing time situation? What was that next step in the process?
Yeah, so the next step was I go and talk to the coaches about the playing time. And actually, on Sunday, I was told to come meet with him, my D-line coach, first. And so, I went and talked to him. I didn't know what was it about. I didn't even mention anything. We were talking, he was trying to say how, you know, I played for over the last four games, I played all three positions, which was new to me, but I was able to do it. And then I said, it's kind of frustrating because going into that game, I was told I was playing one position and I went to play nose and I didn't practice nose all week. So, you know, I had little mess ups on our important days to walk through. I took, you know, full responsibility for not really understanding that, but yet that doesn't, you know, keep me from playing because I know exactly what to do on each play. So then I go in there and, you know, he tells me, well, you know, guys were ready to have you in the game and whatnot. And, you know, guys are, or not guys, but like, you know, just was this, that, and the other, basically of why I didn't play in the game and then how things was going to move forward where I'm playing back to the original position I've always played since I've been here. And then, you know, it kind of just started turning sideways to, you know, what my future is going to look like, probably not going anywhere in all of this to, you know, then I tell them I want a red shirt. And then it becomes a whole different story of, well, we're going to do this. You know, they call my father and they say, we're going to do this. We're going to help him here and all this. And I'm like, well, you know, I've been told day in and day out that, you know, you're a great athlete and whatever, but you got to practice harder. But, you know, I'm like, how harder can I practice for you guys? if I'm not seeing results of me getting on the field, and it's just I'm not practicing hard enough. I'm like, well, what can I do? And, you know, my mom's asked me, what can I do? And then, you know, that was like the first week. Second week, it was Vandy, oh, Hub, you look good. You look amazing. You're playing amazing. And then that results to like 15, 20 plays. And then it comes in the next week, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to let people, we're talking to Ellison Hubbard. Yeah. Ellison Hubbard, of course, has just entered the transfer portal. So, Ellison, you're telling us, so kind of at the beginning of the season, for, through the first couple of weeks, the coaching staff's kind of like, hey, you're tearing it up, man. You're doing great. We love you. You know, we enjoy the work ethic you're bringing. And then something kind of changed the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So, at the beginning, it was like, you need to practice harder, whatnot. We're going to the first game. Seven reps. Going the next week after one of the players vouched for me, Toby, he's like, I don't like that Hub is just standing on the sideline. He's played. He's a great athlete. Then it turns into, oh, Hub, you look good. You look great, da-da-da. Now I'm playing 20 reps. Then it comes in the next week, and then now I'm just moved to only one package, and that's just pass rush. And then that pass rush only got called five times in the game. And then I play, you know, at five times that pass rush package, and then I get one series, which is like four plays of just regular down, first and second down, and then I play a couple plays of a different package while rotating with three other guys in there. So that's 14 plays, and then I don't know how to explain the last game, as I don't know, there was a multiple things of why I didn't play the last game.
Very interesting, man. And so, okay, talk to us about this, because we're getting a lot of texters coming in what it sounds like that it ultimately, for you personally, and I can't speak on some of the other players, and I'm going to ask you about that too, but for you, it did come down ultimately to the playing time. Now, what is your relationship with your defensive line coach, with Coach Adazio, with the entire coaching staff? Is it still a positive relationship that just came down to, you know, I'm not getting the playing time I want, or did it kind of turn sour?
So yeah, it didn't go bad or anything at all. What just happened is, you know, maybe they just, I don't know if they didn't see me to be a guy to play more than 20 snaps in a game or what it could be. I had no problems with Coach Adazio. You know, I talked to him, you know, when I see him walking by, or maybe a quick little conversation or it would be, you know, maybe I talked to the coaches just in there, hey, how you doing? But I never really like sat and talked to any of them personally or anything. And me and Coach Smith had just been a bit of a relationship, I would say. As, yeah, he was cool at times, and in times he wasn't. And he would claim he coached me hard, but then I was being coached, you know, in my eyes, I was viewing it as I'm being coached way different than how the other guys are. I felt as though I wasn't being coached as a fifth-year senior, but as a newcomer coming in. So, And he claimed to say that he was coaching me to get me better and get me right. But, you know, there's an extent to where you can yell at somebody and be like, hey, you know, this is what I need from you, till now it's like it felt like I just never played a down of football.
Do you feel like, again, you've been with this program for a very long time. You were with this program under Coach Mike Bobo. Do you get a sense that because you are a Mike Bobo guy, that maybe that's why you were treated as if you're not a fifth-year senior, that you're more of a younger guy coming in?
You know, I've heard many things. You know, my dad does a lot of research into this, and that it could have seemed as if that was the case, that they were trying to get rid of Bobo guys. But, you know, I don't know how true that is, because they told me to come back. But then again, I don't know if they were telling me to come back because I've had so much dedication to this program and the school, or what the case may be. And, you know, maybe if sources are true, you know, from what I've heard from plenty of people who do the media thing, they could be, because he's trying to get rid of at least the Oval guys who weren't the guys that were highly talked about, you know, when coming out of the offices, the transition. So, you know, I don't know what it could have been, but I know for me it just wasn't going anywhere north, you know, in my eyes, and that's why I made that decision to go ahead and just transfer.
So you're not saying, and I just want to make this clear because you're getting a lot, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people are wondering, and there's, you know, I'm on some of these chat sites. People are saying, oh my yeah. gosh, the culture's so bad. These coaches are bad. Let's just make this clear. You aren't necessarily saying that the coaching staff is presenting some kind or providing some kind of negative culture, at least that you've experienced. Yours more or less is coming down to, we have a disagreement on playing time. Is that correct? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair to say. It's just a disagreement on playing time. I mean, they're trying to build a culture here, and maybe they're trying to weed out the guys they don't think fit in this culture. But I don't think they're, you know, I think that could come down to, in a sense of what they want to know about the culture. It's just that, you know, they're trying to weed out the guys they don't think fit their culture. But for me, and what's going on here is my playing time. And I, you know, it's my final year. I don't want to sit on the bench and play 20, you know, at the max 20 plays and then think I have a shot to play in the NFL with, you know, minimal production.
Ellison Hubbard joining us. Of course, Ellison, great friend of the show. We put together the Ellison Hubbard Show on Mondays. I know we're kind of pivoting, and we're definitely going to be hearing from you throughout the course of whatever your future holds. Now, this is where I'm a little foggy on everything, Ellison. What does it look like for you? You're in the transfer portal. What does the future look like? What does your playing situation look like? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, as soon as I hit the portal this morning, I've had coaches from different FBS schools, FCS schools start, you know, blowing my phone up with, hey, I see you in the portal. And some that known me from high school and seen me play over the years were concerned on why I was in the portal, you know, as great of an athlete I was, and they thought I was starting. I had to let them know the same information that it just wasn't, you know, I guess I wasn't being played a lot for some certain reason that I don't understand. And so they were like, well, man, we'd love to have you and be a great fit at these other schools. And so, you know, it's been going good right now in whatever school I decide to go to. I'm allowed to early enroll, and I'll be in there in January.
And so you could play, in a sense, you still have a full season, right?
Yeah. I would be able to do the spring ball, summer, and fall camp, and then have that full season, which would be my official final season.
Ellison, I'm not going to ask you specifics on schools or anything like that, but there are people mm-hmm. wondering about local. You know, let me just ask this. Is there a possibility that you would stay in the state of Colorado? Let me ask it like that.
It could be possible. I've had Greeley actually reach out to me recently. Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, Greeley's reached out to me, and they're telling me that they only have, I think, I don't know, maybe you can attest to this, Brady, that they have just a DN making all the plays right now on the defensive line. Now, I haven't really seen much of Greeley, so I don't know if that is fully true or not.
Yeah, it's all I know right now. I mean, they have a pretty salty defense for sure. But, you know, we're sitting here talking about it off the air. We're all thinking it. We're wondering it. So, yeah, I mean, it would be cool because I know, Ellison, you have a lot of fans in the state, and for several reasons. I've told you this off air, and I'll tell you on air. You have a future in the media career, no doubt about it. You're going to be able mm-hmm. to do this. And I think that was one of the fun things about the radio show. And I know Crazy Carl's, too. I just want to make this clear. They love Ellison Hubbard. They're crazy about you. They're obviously big time supporters of Colorado State. So they're looking for Colorado State Rams. So, you know, and that's why we're going to kind of pivot and do some different things. But, you know, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, you just have a lot of fans in this area.
Yeah.
And so this is why this one, I think, feels like a pretty big blow for Colorado State Rams fans. Not on your side of it, but just the fact that, okay, what's going on over at Colorado State to where we're losing one of the guys that's been around for such a long time, a great guy, too, and a pretty damn solid football player.
Yeah, and I can understand that. But, you know, I'm always going to have love for CSU and all the people who support me. I love you guys for that. That's why I hope to continue with you so I can continue talking to them, maybe not in a CSU manner, but at least in a manner of football and whatnot, and just keep giving my insight. I mean, like I said to you earlier and other people, I wish you didn't end the way it's ending, but, you know, sometimes you got to look out for yourself and just, you know, find what's a path that's going to help you get to where you want to get to.
Yeah, and again, you know, we're getting a lot of texters coming in just saying, you know, hey, we get that it's about the playing time. But they get the sense, Ellison, that they can sense a little frustration in your voice, man. And there is. There's a little frustration, and no doubt about it, because I know you had big goals going into the season personally.
I did, too. And honestly, it just came down to me not liking what the D-line coach had to say. It's been, you know, wishy-washy. Too many, this is going to happen, this, then it doesn't show up. Or he's going to tell me this, and then it flips the next week. So for me, it's just been too much of not a clear one understanding. It's been too many different understandings, and that's what hurt me and frustrated me to leave the boys I love playing with on the field, and, you know, especially leaving the season. It's not what I wanted to do. But like I said, you know, you got to make the decisions, because this is my final year, and if I don't leave and I play in five games, then that's it for my ability to go play, you know, at a school that will, you know, at least the coaches will help me go to, you know, that next level.
Well, okay, so we're getting a lot of other players that we're hearing about, Ellison. You know, we've talked about McElroy. You know, earlier in the month, we talked about Tanner Hollins, a Colorado kid. Can you speak on that at all? There are people wondering, all right, so there's playing time with you, and you're making that pretty clear, but you're also kind of saying, hey, there, I was told one thing, and then the next week I was told another thing. So there's some other things going on. As far as these other players, can you speak on to any of that? Because when you start to see one or two transfers, okay, and now you see a bunch, and I get it. We're in this new age where the transfer portal is big, and it happens all the time now like crazy. Do you know of anything else going on? Is there other players that you've talked to that have transferred out, that have entered the portal, that are frustrated, or is it boiled down to a playing time situation for them too?
I think it comes to playing time, and basically just the same thing as what I've said about myself, is that, you know, we're told we'll get our opportunities, our chances, and then it just never happens. And so that's pretty much what's happening with players, is that they're being told one thing and then they don't see that action happening, you know, when it comes to that time. And that's what I think pretty much is what happened, at least for the last couple of guys that transferred in, you know, in the same situation as mine. It's just we're being told one thing and it doesn't pop up when that time comes.
And that's pretty much playing time, right? They're telling you, hey, you keep doing this, you're going to play here, you're going to do this, don't worry. And then it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then that just starts to frustrate you a little more.
Yeah. And I don't know how long I could have handled that, and I don't know where that would have led me if I would have just kept believing what they told me and then nothing happens.
Ellison, we love you, man. We wish the best. I see this tweet here that says, hey, I think Ellison is doing a great job of being diplomatic, but it's very clear that there's a ton of dysfunction within the coaching staff. Ellison's very bright and a wonderful Ram and a salty player. I can't imagine the benefit of running a guy like him off. I talked to you off the air, too, and it's not necessarily you said the same things off the air. And you've been very clear from the first conversation we had this morning that, hey, I don't want to bury CSU. I don't want to come out here and bash them. This was a personal choice with playing time. But at the end of the day, you're also saying, hey, I do feel like I was told one thing this week and told another thing the next.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, I think that just that there could be a misunderstanding maybe in how they should handle their players. I don't know for sure, but I know for one thing is they definitely didn't want to lose me, and I don't think there's anything, you know, with no action that they could have done to keep me there. That was just one thing. I know that probably hurt them to lose at least two senior leaders like me and Marcus in a situation like this.
And you were so optimistic. Even on Monday, you were talking about going and beating this San Jose State, and this offense was going to get it rolling, too. I mean, I'm with the texter earlier. It just, I mean, for better or worse, you know, I don't know. And again, I'm not a coach, and I know playing time is one thing, and they want to get their situation going and all that. But I know a lot of fans share that same sentiment as far as saying, hey, there can't be much to gain by losing an Ellison Hubbard.
Yeah, I mean, to lose, in their eyes, a twitchy athletic D lineman is, you know, hurtful, you know, because now that means other schools have their opportunities to jump on that and use that player and let his ability, you know, release on that field, unleash on that field. So I think that's what hurts them. But in the end, that new team that gets me, they're going to get a healthy, ready-to-go Ellison Hubbard that's going to give us all.
Well, man, we'll be watching out for you. As soon as you get some news, you know, I have your number, so, and I'll probably just text you. And we'll get you back on the show, my friend.
And I'll let you know.
Like I said, we're going to pivot some ideas and some things going forward as the Monday show that we do is, yes, it is predominantly a focus on the Colorado State Rams. But no doubt we'll be in touch with you, my friend, and we want to get you on the program on a regular basis. Just stay in touch, and we wish you the best, and we'll be looking out for the next move for Ellison Hubbard.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to miss you guys. But again, I'm going to be hopefully on Brady's show on Fridays or whatever days we can make happen.
All right, my buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Awesome. Talk to you soon.
That is Ellison Hubbard. Think we covered it. Did he say? He said Greeley. He did. That's what he said. That's what he said. As far as being diplomatic, I get that. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Ellison Hubbard is the kind of guy that's not going to try to bury somebody unless it's like, you know, unless something really bad was going on. So here's the summary of that interview. Ellison's told at the beginning of the season he's going to get some playing time. He told me this off the air before the season started. They say, hey, I'm really twitchy. I've got that twitch, that defensive line skill set that a lot of people don't have. I think I can take it to the next level. They think they can get me ready for the NFL even. That changed to he didn't play at Iowa. Didn't play at all. Now, I'm not an idiot when it comes to football. There could be guys that are looking great in training camp. They look great in week one, and suddenly they don't look and fit the system as well in week three or four. That is coaching. That is football. So we that's not something that we're necessarily going to, I don't think, rip the coaching staff apart for. But there is a trend. I mean, you are seeing a lot of players transferring. We are going to try to get Tanner Hollins on, the Gatorade Player of the Year, the Colorado running back. I mean, this guy was, you know, at least touted as being a pretty big-time player. So we're going to see. We're going to try to get him on, too. But, yeah, you start to look at a lot of transfers. I will say this. This is the day and age that we're in, too. If a player doesn't feel like they're getting treated right as far as playing time, they can enter the transfer portal. So I will caveat all of that with the fact that we are in a new age of college football. You don't like your playing time, you can enter the transfer portal and just be done with it because you're frustrated. Great stuff from Ellison, though. And we do appreciate his honesty for coming on the show and talking to us. It was fantastic. 27 minutes after the hour, we got a lot to go. CSU to the AAC? I mean, wow, there's always something going on with Colorado State, I guess. 27 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.